We have your Bibles. Let's turn this morning. A few scriptures today. In Isaiah chapter 42, I want to look at, 43. Oh, no, we're 442. Yeah, that's what I wrote here. I was going by what the Lord was showing me this morning, my own time. We've been talking about how God is trying to get us to think a little different, trying to get us to get out of ourselves and get into how He operates. God operates so much more different than we do, and one of the biggest problems is that we try to force God into a human box. And the problem with trying to force God into a human box is there's no humanly way possible that there are things that we need to get done. There's no way they can get done humanly. And so when we try to force God into the human box, we're not using faith, okay? Because we're trying to say, well, if God's going to do this in my life, He's going to do this way or that way. He's going to bring healing through only through medical science. And I praise God for medical science. My wife is a nurse. I was a medic. And we got another nurse here and other folk that have been part of the medical profession. We appreciate that. But there's also a higher way, and that's God's way. Now, our medical profession keeps us going as we are growing. Does that make sense? I had a lady leave the church one time because I said, doctors, keep us alive while we're growing our faith. Well, honestly, the realization is we aren't there yet. We are growing. We don't know everything yet. Now, if you do know everything, go ahead and make out your will. I'll give you a piece of paper because you probably won't be here very long. But what I'm saying is that God has a higher and a better way of doing things. And instead of us assuming certain things, let's find out. Let's, like Valerie said, keep on looking. Keep on seeking. Listen, if we know it all, then there will never be a need to keep on seeking. Because everything that happens must be the will of God, so evidently God is ultimately in control. Now, I would love to say that, but the truth is that's not true. And we'll show you that this morning. So Isaiah 42:16, I will bring the blind by way they have not known. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These are the things that I will do. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. And of course, 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct thy paths. Everyone say acknowledge.
Acknowledge.
Okay, so verse 6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll make your path straight. All right? The problem is, it's very hard to acknowledge God. Now, how do you acknowledge God? By His Word. A lot of people say, well, you acknowledge God by thinking about Him. Well, I get it. I get what they're trying to say. But you actually acknowledge God by acknowledging what He said that He did for us or already did or is going to do. All right? And so how we acknowledge a finished result or the answer is, like what Valerie said, find it in the Word. And so if we will acknowledge what God said, then to be honest with you, you'll begin. Everyone say begin. Because that's very important. We have that word in our heart. If we acknowledge what He said and still keep acknowledging what He said, eventually you will begin to see how God will do things. We like to have all the details. We are good stewards of our time. We are planners. We're those type of folk that we have answers for everything. We got a plan for this and a plan for that. If you don't know me long enough, I have contingencies for everything. People always tease me about my backpack. Listen, I can sustain a small disaster or a small war out of my backpack. And so, on the Belize trip, I've even got 3 different gauges of sutures I'm bringing. Why? Because if anything happens, I don't want to have to go to a Belizean doctor. I'll just stitch myself up, thank you. But all that to be said, we like to be prepared for everything. So when something happens that we're not prepared for, a lot of times we kind of lose it. We grasp for an instant answer, and when we don't have that instant answer that our eyes can see, that our minds could understand, we all of a sudden we just kind of fall apart and we say, oh, this is it. But God's ways are higher than our ways. God's ways can include natural things, but for the bigger part of it, God's ways are supernatural, all right? So that's what God's trying to get us to do, trust Him with all of our heart, and don't try to figure it out. Lean not to your own understanding. That means to don't try to figure it out all in our, because you and I, we just don't know all the ways of God yet. We're grown in this thing, all right? Let's look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and let's look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to God, return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great? God will abundantly pardon. You know, there goes that. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you made those bad choices, and God didn't have to forgive you. I hate to tell you this, but he said he will abundantly, not stingily. Is that a word, stingily, and teachers in here? All right. He won't scantily pardon, but he will abundantly pardon, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. And let me just stop right there, because that flows together in a really precious way. He will abundantly pardon. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, people think, well, you know, you did this in your life. How in the world can God forgive you? Or let me just rephrase it this way. The devil has whispered into your mind, well, you did this in your life. How in the world can God pardon that? Well, this is above our thoughts. Because I can't figure out how God can forgive some of the most heinous things that ever happened on the face of the planet. And if somebody really, really gave their heart to Jesus, that God can forgive and wipe that slate clean. I can't figure that out. I don't want to figure that out, quite honestly. You know, there are some folk I'd rather not see when I get to heaven. I'll just be straight up with you. Y'all know some folk like that? Okay, just, you know, y'all are better than me, but just checking. All right. Thank God he abundantly pardons. But then he says, after the abundantly pardons, my thoughts are not higher than your thoughts, nor my ways higher than your ways, says the Lord. Or my ways are higher than your. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we're getting at the place that we're no longer trying to figure things out on our own. We're no longer looking to our natural resources. We're looking to the source instead of these natural resources. Because quite honestly, the dream and the destiny and the vision that God would give you could not be fulfilled by your own financial means. That is the bottom line. If you can afford the vision of God by your means, you are not looking at the right vision. Because what that means is you don't need God's help. And everything that God has called you to do absolutely requires His resources in your life. Amen? All right. Now let's look at in Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, everyone say, I'm risen with Christ.
I'm risen with Christ.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. Everyone say, affections. Okay, so what it's telling us here, the word set literally means to mind or to think. It means to have a mindset or be minded. The word set means that the activity represented by this word involves the will, the affections, and the conscience. So in other words, to set your mind is to think on a certain thing, to make a choice to not think of the one thing but to think of the other. So to think of or to think on heavenly things or to be heavenly minded means to think on the Word. That's not just thinking about the streets of gold and the resources of heaven, you know, the pearly gates. You know, if you ever need some resources, just kind of pry off one of the pearls off the gates, you know, or maybe dig up a piece of gold nugget off the heavenly asphalt. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about setting your mind on what God said, setting your mind on how He plans on doing things, instead of setting your mind on the natural fact that your body is screaming certain things and the doctor is interpreting it one way. No, no, no. We're setting our attention. Everyone say attention.
Attention.
We're setting our, matter of fact, the word affection, set your affection, literally means your feelings. See, that takes a whole nother ball game, right? A whole nother level of thinking right there, because a lot of folk talk about how they feel. You know, if you were telling me, if I were to ask you how you feel right now, I had a friend of mine at a church in Dallas we used to be on staff at. He dealt with cancer for a long time, and he's good to go. But if you ever ask this guy how he's feeling, he'll always say, with my hands. I'm feeling with my hands. Yes, sir, I got you. I'm glad he did that. I'm glad he said that. because it really put an understanding to me that I don't look to my feelings for any kind of answers. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you hurt my feelings. Well, I'll be real honest with you. It's real hard to hurt my feelings because I ain't paying attention to my feelings. Now, you might tick me off every now and then, but at the same time, it's my fault that I let you get into my skin. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right then. So what I'm saying is that you and I have to make a conscious choice to set our attention, our feelings, our emotions on higher things. Because God's not moved by what moves us emotionally. God is moved by love. He loves us. He's moved by faith. The Bible says that Jesus is familiar with what we've dealt with. You know, he's not a high priest that hadn't been touched with the things that we have dealt with. So he understands. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to suffer. He knows what it's like. I mean, you know, Lord, only God knows what all the stuff he went through while he was here on the earth. But the Bible says in all points that we are tempted, he was tempted also. However, he set his mind on things above. You know, how could he in the Garden of Gethsemane, when all these 500 soldiers come out there to arrest him, you know, he knew they were coming. He was expecting them. How in the world could, you know, after they come out there and then Peter cuts the one guy's ear off, how can Jesus absolutely go in there, put the guy's ear on and reprimand Peter, you know, Peter for doing that? Well, because Jesus is mine. One not, they're coming to get me. They're coming to get me. Oh, they're coming. They're going to take me to the cross. They're going to beat me and all that stuff. No. His mind was, I got a job to do. That's what he said in the garden. He said, not my will, but yours be done. In other words, not the flesh will that he was feeling. He didn't live by that. He pushed on through to what he was there for. You see, you and I here on the earth, we have a purpose in this life, and junk comes at you to stop or slow down the purpose of God in your life. But as long as we don't stop and give that thing attention, as long as we give attention to the plan of God, we'll be just fine. I believe it's in Philippians 2. It says that for the joy set before him, he endured the suffering, even the suffering on the cross. For the joy that was set before him. So how did Jesus endure? It's talked about him enduring the pain. How did he endure the pain? He wasn't thinking about the pain. He was thinking about his purpose. He was thinking about what he was called to do and how he was going to do it. So he knew that pain and suffering was a part of the plan. You know, I have a great respect for our military. And you know, that the movie came out a while back, Lone Survivor. But the SEAL team that was out on a mission out in the East, the Middle East over there, and they were basically just being picked apart, and you know, basically I think there was one survivor left, but there was a scene where one guy fell from all these rocks. I mean, took bullets, fell from all these rocks. I mean, just absolutely busted up. And I'm thinking, how in the world does this dude keep on going? Well, number one, probably thinking about his family. I'll tell you what, man, if there's any time where you're dealing with stuff, you got some certain things that you're thinking about, I am getting home to my kinfolk, and that is the bottom line. Or I am fulfilling this mission. The only way I will not fulfill this mission is if they kill me. And so I'm going to keep staying alive until they do. Listen, if you and I, in our daily life, find out what God says about us, find out what we're here to do, that's why all this stuff, well, you know, I guess it was so-and-so's time to go. So-and-so's time to go. What are you talking about? That's not even biblical, so-and-so's time to go. Listen, the first place or the first age the Bible gives us is 70 years. And the second age that God gives us is 120 years. So as far as timing goes, death, listen, we make mistakes all the time. I thank God. Matter of fact, I told you all the story about when I almost got killed when I was out at Bible school. I drove by that same spot that I almost got killed at, and I thought about that. Man, I thought, man, I could have been dead in 1994, right there on the, I could have been a little brown spot on Highway 77 at the corner of Highway or County Road 101 there in Colorado County, Columbus, Texas. But what I'm saying real simply is this: we've got to look at what God says and not what our situations and circumstances tell us. So set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 now. Because here is one of the areas that we have got to get settled on the inside. Romans chapter 8. This is a good scripture right here. I think everyone needs to kind of be familiar with this, because remember we showed you in Isaiah 55, or in Isaiah where it talks about how God will abundantly pardon. Yeah, and then God's ways are higher than our ways. We've got to get this place in our lives where we recognize the goodness and the grace of God in our circumstances, because we tend to think that we are not good enough for God to do things, that we've been too bad for God to do things in our life. And if we think like that, we're not thinking like a new creature that God made us. Remember we talked about in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And we said this before, a long time ago, a couple months ago, we said that when you were born again, you and I were supposed to operate differently. You know, a lot of times we think, well, I'm born again now, and so we try to operate the same way we did before we got saved. No, we live by faith now. Remember the analogy I gave that whenever I was in my mama's tummy, how I got my oxygen, you know, from the cord and all that junk, and I got fed through the umbilical cord. But when I came out of my mama, when I was born, I transitioned from inside the womb, living one way, to outside the womb, living a different way. When they cut that cord, they didn't feed me through the cord anymore. They didn't get a syringe full of formula and ram it in a cord, shoot it up in there. They didn't put an oxygen hose in that cord, ram it up in there to keep me going. Everything changed. Well, you and I are the same way. Now, I want you to see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Everyone say, no condemnation.
No condemnation.
Everyone say, I am in Christ. Look at verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. Who did?
God
did by sending His Son, His own Son, in the likeness of my or our sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled, where? In us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Let me stop right there, because here is where you and I are at. Because the moment I got saved, I'll never forget, I was at some camp in deep East Texas. I mean, I think somewhere around the Livingston area, well, past Livingston, it was called Camp Mohawk. And it was a scary place, man. I thank God I don't go there. We don't go there anymore. It was a scary old place. I was 8 years old, went down. It was a corny puppet show, but it worked. I heard the gospel, and I received it, you know, after being in church 8 years of my life. But when I got back home and my pastor heard about it, one of the first things that they started telling me, well, now that you're saved, you got to do this, and you can't no longer do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't do this. And here, I couldn't keep up with the cans and the cans, and you have to do this, and you know, if you don't do that, you're in sin and all that. I couldn't keep up. Because number one, I'm 8 years old. I don't know what this is and that is and all. I don't know these terminology. And I mean, honestly, Mom didn't mention sin quite, you know, when we were younger. She just talked about Jesus and talked about the Holy Spirit. She didn't make a big thing about sin. You know, it's the church and some of these legalistic folks, all they talk about is sin. Now, we don't want to do that. But it says here that Jesus, by the requirements of the law, God sent Jesus and He fulfilled that. So that the very first verse of this chapter says that we have no need to ever feel condemned, because the law, the requirements of the law were fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, everyone say mind, minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Everyone say carnally.
Carnally.
Okay, carnally talks about your flesh. Now, the flesh is a way of thinking. So it has to do with our unrenewed soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and the way we live on the outside. Like Valerie said, the steps you make, okay? The steps, the things that you and I do. It says here, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity. Everyone say enmity. You know what that word is in the English? Enemy. Enemy. It's against God. The carnal mind is against God, for it is not subject to the law. Okay, let me explain this right here. Because this is one of the biggest things that religion has done to us, is it's done this. Now that we are in Christ, we are brand new creations, brand new creatures. Old things are gone, new things have come. And so we should not be focusing on sin. Now why? Because the Bible says to be fleshly minded is against God. Okay, can your spirit sin? No. No, it cannot. Can your flesh sin? Absolutely. Can your soul sin? Absolutely, 100%. But if you and I are focusing on only trying to be good, if we're only trying to obey the rules of the flesh, guess what minded we are? We're carnally minded. We're fleshly minded. You see, God doesn't, He's never wanted us to try to figure out up and down, right and wrong, what's left and what's right. Remember the Garden of Eden, whenever Jesus or God told the Adam and Eve, you know, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Y'all remember that? The knowledge of, well, why wouldn't God want us to have that distinction to know good and evil? Very simply, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, He said this, He said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God intended for us to learn the Word of God, learn the ways of God, learn how to follow the Spirit of the living God who lives on the inside of us, and just listen to what He's telling us to do, and listen for the check in our spirit. You ever talk to somebody kind of rough one time, and all of a sudden you felt like a dirty dog? You just, oh man. That happened this week. Something happened at the camp with McKenzie, and I was in a foul mood already. I know y'all probably think I never get in a foul mood, but I was in a foul mood. And I went off on her. And so later on that day, I told her, I said, McKenzie, I am so sorry. I said, Daddy, I was fleshy. I said, it wasn't your fault, and I took it out on you. Will you forgive me? And she did. But the problem is, a lot of times, if all we are thinking about is the flesh, then our flesh is in the gear of flesh. God wants us to listen to His voice. He wants us to hear what He has to say. See, this is called a new way of living. It ain't about living by the rules of the flesh, because there's a lot of rules in there. Well, you can't do that. Listen, it says there is therefore no condemnation. There's no condemning. If you and I, we have a big set of rules, and you can't live up to my rules, guess how you feel? You feel condemned. There was I'm in one of these Facebook pages with just ministers, and it's a religious one. It's a denomination that's very religious. And one of the pastors put a post regarding his 13-year-old daughter. When his daughter was 13 years old, she was living for God, and God was speaking to her, and she was obeying. But she had a sickness that she prayed that it would go away, and it didn't go away. 3 years later, now she's 16. Now she doesn't want to have anything to do with God. She's denounced God. She's living all kind of crazy ways. And this pastor is cool. I feel bad for the guy. But the problem is, this is what happened with a lot of minister homes, is as pastors, we put all these rules on our children. And we start telling them, well, you're a pastor's kid. You got to act this way. Or for you not in a pastor's home, well, you're a Christian. You have to do this and you have to do that. Listen, as a Christian, all you have to do is follow the Lord. And if you and I would grow in following the Lord, number one, the first thing He'll do is point you to His Word. And when we start seeing things in His Word, that'll convict us. Not condemn us, but convict us. Because listen, if you and I walk in a state of condemnation, you can't have faith. You see, faith cannot dwell where condemnation is, because condemnation is flesh and faith is spirit. And so if you and I feel bad about something, then all we have to do is repent. Say, God, I'm so sorry. I repent and I thank You, because He's already forgiven us, right? That's all paid for. So we're not really saying, God, will You forgive me? You know, that's like me giving you my keys and saying, will you give me your keys? Duh, I've already got your keys. You've already got my keys. All we're saying is, God, I thank You. I repent. I'm sorry for what I've done. And I thank You for Your forgiveness. I thank You that I'm clean by the blood of Jesus, what He did. Now, then you move on from there. You know, what is your past like? What kind of past do you have? I got things in my past I don't like. I'm glad it's past, because that ain't me anymore. And anytime your past creeps up on you to condemn you, that is the devil trying to get you to live in condemnation and stay out of fear. Listen, what you did last night, God is able to abundantly pardon. We should not be in condemnation for what we did last night. Now, see, somebody might say, well, Pastor Michael, you're giving people the the license to sin. No. I just read how God abundantly pardons. I just read that God says that we don't need to live in condemnation. All we have to do is repent for what we've done and then move on. Because if we don't clear our conscience, we just can't walk in that faith. And so, guys, if we're thinking about sin all the time, and thinking, that's why you can't push your set of rules on somebody else. You and I, we can't push our way of, well, you know, there's things that I don't do. And for me, it's wrong. But y'all can get away with it. Now, I'm not going to name those things because it doesn't do anybody any good. Just like it won't do you any good if I start telling you my convictions, because the devil will use my convictions to condemn you. Now, there are things as a leader that the Bible tells us to stay away from that's real clear. But very simply this morning, if we will focus on God and how He does things. You see, if we can't get the truth that He can abundantly pardon, how can we get the truth that we are the healed of the Lord? Well, God, you know, I believe you can heal me, but man, what I did last night, I just don't know if you can forgive me for that. Now, I know nobody would say that out of their mouth. But, you know, the devil rehearses that thought for you. He does it for you. He rolls that thought over in your mind for you that, oh, what you just did, I know, you just thought that evil thought. No, you didn't. He thought that thought. He dropped that thought into your mind. Now, we can get that thought out, and we need to, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. But what I'm saying very simply, man, if we are struggling in the area of condemnation about how we've acted or what we've did and what we've done, then we can't live the exact way God wants us to live. And so the answer is, let it go. Like on Frozen, let it go. Listen, you and I, we've got to release the flesh. Everyone say, release the flesh. Because see, it's your flesh, or my flesh, that would tell me, well, how can God make a stream in the desert? How in the world can God rain down manna from heaven? How can God supernaturally get me debt-free? How can I receive a brand new kidney or a brand new heart or a brand new liver? When I'm struggling with this sin? Well, first of all, sin is never a struggle. Because number one, if God's not dealing with you about it, then I wouldn't worry about it right now. I told you before about the lady that's a good friend, a very good friend of ours, who drank for a long time, and I never told her, you know, to stop drinking or anything. I don't drink. For me, it's for me. For me, I can't do it. I'm a pastor. I gotta live above. I'm gonna live above. I'm gonna be an example to all. Okay, and so we never said anything about it, and all of a sudden, a year later, she comes to us and tells us, hey, well, I'm gonna tell. She's an alcoholic. She had to have it. She had to have it. And all of a sudden she comes and a year later tells us, well, hey, guess what? The Lord told me to stop drinking or called me to stop drinking. She dropped the bottle, never picked it back up. Why? Because the Lord showed her to. So you know why? She was open to the Lord. She was open to listen. Listen, if we will just, God's not going to tell you, well, you need to clean yourself up. He's not going to sit there and give you the list of things you got to work on. He's going to do one thing at a time, and guess what He'll do? He will help you do it. If you are condemned about something, it's going to be very hard for you to live this brand new life. See, the life that God called us to live, He's empowered us to live. And if you are struggling in an area in your life that may or may not be sin, something that man, someone has told you that, man, that is just wrong, it's wrong, wrong, wrong. Well, listen, I would just follow the Lord right now instead of following my rules and somebody else's. I would seek God and pursue Him. And your love for God, number one, it'll begin to grow because you'll see how much grace He has on your life. And then when God is ready for you to stop doing what you're doing, He will help you. Everyone say, help from above. Listen, I struggled with stuff for years. I mean, I struggled with things that I didn't want to struggle, things that were shameful, I didn't really care to talk about. But at the same time, it was when I discovered something that my religious background didn't like called grace. It wasn't until I discovered grace that I became empowered to get free, the truth of grace, to get free of what I was dealing with. Listen, this morning, God has more for your life. But if we can't get past this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. If we can't get past this condemnation thing, we're going to have a hard time living that new life because the new life has no condemnation. You are in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that sin was paid for. It was paid for. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. And verse 11, chapter 8, verse 11 of Romans. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Very simply, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of each and every one of us. And you know what? He ain't scared of your past. He ain't scared of what you did last night. Now, what's He going to do when you make a mistake? He's going to say, tap on your heart. He's going to tap on, not your head. He's going to tap on your heart. He's going to say, hey, that wasn't good. Let's not do that anymore. Now, He's not going to pimp slap you. Bam! Boy, I told you, that's not Him. That's not Him. That might be Grandma. That might be Mama or Daddy. Or that might be your sister or brother. Like in my house, it's little sis. She'll, bam, Max, Dad said this. But listen, that's not God. God is loving. He will correct. He will correct. But He's going to do it in a loving way so that you and I will, oh, yes, sir. Yeah, oh, okay. I got it. All right. And then if you make that mistake again, hey, remember? And then when the situation comes up where you have the opportunity, you'll hear it. Hey, don't forget. Don't forget how we do it now. How we. Everybody say we. Because you and Him are one. You see how that goes? See, it's a new way of thinking. He can abundantly pardon. But if all we're thinking about is rules and regulations and religion and all that stuff, you're not thinking spirit, you're thinking flesh. It's time to shed this flesh and walk in the Spirit so we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's stand.